listening to Terrence McNally.
Terrence McNally, filling in on the Rachel Maddow Show.
Hello, hello, hello. Merry Christmas Eve. Happy Hanukkah. And I'm really glad you're with me. Whatever the weather is like outside your car, I'm glad you're listening to Air America inside and inside your nice warm office or home, as the case may be. So John Zogby, as we were just speaking briefly, has researched and written and spoken about where we're going. Now, this notion that I spoke about a little bit before, social entrepreneurs, they're actually folks who are doing something about it. Over the past two decades, the citizen sector has discovered what the business sector learned long ago. There is nothing as powerful as a new idea in the hands of a first-class entrepreneur. And what we've realized is that's not just limited to making a buck. Just as entrepreneurs change the face of business, social entrepreneurs act as the change agents for society. They seize opportunities that others miss. They improve systems, invent new approaches, create solutions. And while a business entrepreneur might create entirely new industries, a social entrepreneur comes up with new solutions to social problems, and then what really is the mark of an ace entrepreneur implements them on a large scale. Bill Drayton has pioneered the field of social entrepreneurship. He's the CEO and the founder of Ashoka, an odd name, but named after a benevolent Indian emperor, I believe. Ashoka, A-S-H-O-K-A, and that's the website as well, ashoka.org, if you want to learn more about this. It's a global organization which selects individuals tackling society's most pressing problems with innovative entrepreneurial solutions. As a management consultant with McKinsey & Company, Drayton gained wide experience serving both public and private clients. He built his understanding of how organizations worked, and then he took it to Ashoka, and he took it to the world. Since 1981, Ashoka has selected over 2,000 leading social entrepreneurs as Ashoka Fellows, providing them with living stipends, professional support, and access to a global network of peers, which is probably a very important part of it, in more than 60 countries. And through Ashoka, Drayton has introduced the world to a fundamentally new model of how ideas can change systems across the globe and improve the lives of millions. Welcome, Bill Drayton, to Air America, and happy holidays.
Likewise to you.
Okay. Now, I've used the term about 20 times since the show started. What's a social entrepreneur, if I haven't explained it already? And how did you choose to focus on them, perhaps even before the term existed?
It's actually very simple. If you ask yourself, what is the most powerful force in the world? And just as you say, it's a big pattern change idea, but only if it's in the hands of an entrepreneur. It's that combination that sets the new forces in motion. And if you can imagine a community of several thousand of the world's best social entrepreneurs working together, that's the real power that we have. And I just say that anyone who's with us, if you just give yourself permission, you can be a change maker and a social entrepreneur. There is a fear because it's new, because people haven't been doing this. But actually, if you look at the stories of the people who have really changed the world, they probably had less to start with than almost everyone on this program.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that so anyone out there, instead of just noticing what's wrong and noticing how they, the adults in charge, aren't fixing things, that anyone can actually take this role of social entrepreneur and change the way things happen.
And I go further. I think we're just at a historical transition point that agriculture, revolution, small surplus, few players. That's been the structure of society for thousands of years. And it just doesn't work anymore. Change is too fast. It's coming from too many different angles, and it's all accelerating. So ask yourself, what are the successful societies, companies, ethnic groups, individuals? It's the groups that have a high proportion of change makers who work well together. You know, why did San Jose, bunch of lemon groves take off, and Detroit, which was the center of our prosperity 50 years ago, wither? Why did GM die, and why is Google so successful? And think about the people you know. If individuals can just give themselves permission, if you allow yourself to see a problem, and then just rather persistently go at the process of thinking, well, how could I solve that? You almost always can. But very few people give themselves that opportunity.
So what is it, and I always find one of the fascinating things, I've interviewed social entrepreneurs. There's a book, by the way, by David Bornstein called, is it How to Change the World?
Yes.
And it's a book about social entrepreneurs. I highly recommend it. David Bornstein, How to Change the World. And again, the website for Ashoka is ashoka.org. What is it? You're sort of saying anyone might find it. You've dealt with thousands of social entrepreneurs. What are the things that most strike you about them, that separate them from others?
Well, this is probably true for all entrepreneurs. At the core of their personality, they have the need to change the whole society. So they're just not happy with just an idea or just something that works in one place. They really want to see what the major new pattern will be, and then they'll stick with it a decade, 2 decades, however long it takes to get the society to change. Now that's what the real industry change, sector change, whether it's hotel and steels on one side or women's rights or children and young people on the other, you need entrepreneurs in both places, and it's the same pattern.
Let me just say, Bill, one of the things I hear is that it sounds like, in some sense, it's a bit of a contradictory personality to find boldness, a burning desire for change and a bold vision in the same personality with stamina and persistence and the willingness to focus and stay at it.
I'm hard-pressed to see what the conflict is because it seems so organic.
Uh-huh.
If your need is that you really want to change the world, you just don't do that in one thought. It's an iterative, creative process that goes on and on. It is not having an idea, period, and then going and implementing it. It's a creative process, and the idea is constantly evolving. You're looking, oh, there's a little problem over here. This isn't quite working. Well, you either got to change the world or you got to change the idea. And it's usually a combination of the two. And the entrepreneur's life is one of constant creation. That's one of the reasons it's so hugely satisfying. But if you look at actual stories, maybe I just give you one or two.
That's what I was going to say, actually, if I give you 4 minutes, give me one or two stories.
All right. Mary Gordon, the Canadian fellow, Ashoka fellow, we elected a little over 3 years ago. She saw children coming to her classes in Toronto, increasingly not able to deal with others that made them uncomfortable other than with aggression. That, of course, invites aggression back, and every time you go through that cycle, it gets deeper and deeper, and those children are not going to be effective in society, and those schools are not going to be very... She gave herself permission to see that problem. She didn't think about solving it just for that class. She said, how do I change the whole system? Well, if you're going to change education, it better be very simple. And now it's 3 years later. She's gone from 2 to a couple of thousand schools, several other countries, Europe, Asia, the first toehold in the U.S. Now, what does she do? And you can see this is not rocket science, but it requires an openness of mind. She asks the schools to give her 1 hour a month for 8 months. The younger the children, the better. And then she brings, at the beginning of the year, an infant who's less than 1 year old, who's the professor, plus mom. And the kids in the class have the responsibility, not the teacher, of figuring out what the professor is saying and then what the professor is feeling. And this is a very intense, powerful, limbic as versus cognitive learning process. Well, the Canadians, for extraordinary reasons, have statistics on bullying. That 8 hours brings bullying down and it stays down. Now, why is this important? We are moving, as I said, to a world of faster and faster change. That means that the rules cover less and less of our lives. They're changing, they're in conflict, they haven't been invented yet. The sales department and the manufacturing department live on different planets. Well, in that real world we live in, if you have not mastered empathy as a child, you are out of the game because you don't know how to be helpful and you don't know how to not hurt people and not disrupt institutions. And they don't care if you know Latin or computer science. If you're hurtful, you're out of the game. Now, we have 25% of the world's people marginalized, and that's the main reason. Now, one person seeing that problem and saying, I'm going to solve the big picture, and how do I do that? Mary Gordon is going to have a huge impact across the world, and her Ashoka colleagues, of course, are helping in the spread. Jill Violette, who's from California, it's a complimentary idea. She said, look, we're taking recess away. Well, this is bad for all sorts of reasons, obesity and boys going crazy. But it's also very important because where do children practice empathy? It's in group play. So she goes to the school, says, we'll help make recess not a source of trouble, but educative. If you imagine looking down from a third-floor window, when she gets started, there's no pattern. After a few weeks, you have an island or two of kids playing games. After some months, it's all that. Now, here are two pieces of the mosaic. If you can imagine, we have 500 leading entrepreneurs around the world, about 20% of the total, focusing on children and young people. When you take those ideas together, you can really see what you have to do if we're going to be a successful society. And this is really important. To get to everyone a change maker, from the agricultural world of a very few players, of small elites, every child must master empathy.
Uh-huh.
And then every young person, 12 to 20, must be practicing being powerful, being a change maker, having their own ideas, getting their friends together, organizing, creating a virtual radio station to compete with you, to a dance academy. It doesn't matter what it is. When a 15-year-old looks back at the middle school they've just left and there's a tutoring service they've created, they are a change maker for life. And they've brought 20 other kids with them who are practicing empathy and teamwork. Now, the country that figures out how to get from 1 or 2% who practice and have those skills to 20 or 30% is going to be the San Jose of the future and not the Detroit, because that's the key factor of success.
I've got to let you go, Bill, but that's exciting. So she comes up with a couple of innovations in the classroom, but the real thing that I hear is that she's not just stopping a problem like bullying, but she's creating more capable young people who can then be more capable in a fast-changing entrepreneurial world for the rest of their lives.
Critical for them and for society, both.
Okay. The website is ashoka.org, A-S-H-O-K-A. Bill Drighton is the founder and director. The book by David Bornstein, How to Change the World, really opens up this area of social entrepreneurism to you. Thank you, Bill, and happy holidays. I'm Terry McNally, sitting in for Rachel Maddow. It's 47 after the hour, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes, and the rest of the hour is going to be between you and me. So the number to call is 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. Back with you in a moment.
You're listening to guest host Terrence McNally.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270. You're listening to Terrence McNally.
Terrence McNally, filling in on the Rachel Maddow Show.
Okay, and welcome back. It's 52 past the hour, and I'm Terry McNally. I've got Bill Drighton still on the line. Bill Drighton, the founder and the CEO of Ashoka, Social Entrepreneurs. And I want to bring in a caller. Let me tell you, the number to call is 866-303-2270. I'll be taking more callers in the second hour. We'll do a lot of callers in the second hour. So if you want to get in for that, go right ahead. Let me talk to Joe in San Francisco, California. Joe, welcome to Air America on Christmas Eve.
Hi, Terry. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much. So let me ask you, is this idea of social entrepreneurism new to you or something you're familiar with?
Vaguely familiar with. I was listening to your guest, and I was trying to put it together with all the other things that you were saying this hour. I thought it was a very good, thought-provoking hour, and it all fit together in sort of a way that, got me thinking as I was sitting here in the rainstorm about, your comments at the outset about Obama being an inspirational figure, an enlightened being, and comments about the millennial generation relying on social networking and not so much on experts and experience and expertise, but more on what their friends say and what they like. And your last guest was sort of talking as well about empathy and feelings. And I guess, my impression, obviously I haven't thought it all through, but my impression is that, we're just concluding an era of truthiness, where what you think you how you feel about something is the truth, and not it's not the reality-based community that we've been talking about as being an alternative to what many of us feel has been going on in this country.
So let me see if I'm with you that the what I seem to be saying was that a positive direction was some of these signs in younger people, and you're saying, but wait a minute, didn't we just deal with that, people who went with their gut and so on, and didn't that get us into a lot of trouble where we've got to actually pay more attention to evidence and reality? Is that where you're going?
Yes, sir, and not relying so much on a charismatic leader to make us feel that things are better, but actually expertise, competence, honesty, integrity, all the things that people are craving don't fit necessarily with the idea that we're going with, as you say, with our gut.
Well, Yeah, let me just say that what I think I was saying about the charismatic optimist in Obama and why that's appealing to Americans is that I've seen it. In other words, it is something that appeals to Americans when they're ready for change. And what I think I'm saying is that in this case, our problems are so big that if that makes people feel a little more secure about change, it may be what we need. Let me ask Bill if you have any responses to what Joe's saying.
Well, if you ask what is charisma, I think it's a form of leadership that challenges everyone to step up. You can do this. Ask not what your country can do, but what you can do for your country. Classic charismatic statement, and it's an everyone a change maker.
In other words, one would clearly say that Martin Luther King, for instance, one of his assets was charisma. Gandhi, in a very different way, one of his assets, charisma. And Obama, I think, and Joe, tell me if you disagree. Tell us both if you disagree. I believe that one of the biggest things, as charismatic as he may be, that Obama is repeatedly saying is, it's up to you.
Yes, I do agree with that. And I've heard him say it many times that change has to come from the body politic and not necessarily be imposed from above. And I agree with that 100%. And I have every hope and, I feel a sense of optimism too I'm not being pessimistic and thinking that he's not, because he's charismatic, not going to be competent and not going to bring integrity and honesty and openness to government. But what I do sort of question is whether empathy and feelings and enlightened, this idea that we're dealing with an enlightened being.
I'll tell you what, we got to leave it at that. Bill Drayton, thank you for joining us on Christmas Eve, taking some time away from your family, and keep up your wonderful work next year. Joe in San Francisco, thank you. I'm Terry McNally, sitting in for Rachel Maddow. I'll be back after a break.